It looks like it's 6 o'clock, so...
Well, I didn't mean to interrupt your story, if you want.
Okay.
Every time.
I know it. I'm bad about that. We're going to call the regular Monday, March 19th meeting to order. And from what I understand, we also have business from March 12th that we're adding to this. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes, okay. That's correct.
All right. You want to establish a quorum, please?
Okay. Dave Stewart.
Here.
Rick Caudill.
Here.
Steve Adams.
Here.
And Ray Edwards is not here. Rick Therese.
Here.
Sean Pingleton.
Here.
Randy Hayes.
Here.
Ronnie Melton.
Here.
And we have established a quorum.
Very good. You want to explain the meeting procedures, please?
Okay. Well, this evening we don't have any public hearings scheduled this evening, so we do have 5 concept requests. And, of course, on each of these concept requests, as you know, basically the applicant or representative just is going to present what's proposed this evening. We do, however, have a sign up at the front for anybody that might wish to speak to the proposed subdivision regulations. And okay. So we did want to make sure that basically under old and new business, anyone that wished to speak to the proposed subdivision regulations will have an opportunity to speak. They'll just have to walk to the podium at the front of the room and address the commission with any comments that they may have. And that's basically it for this evening.
Okay, we're going to go back and, you've got it on Madeline, thank you. Minutes for February 2012. Did you all get an opportunity to take a look at those minutes? I would entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to accept the minutes.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Changes or anything like that? Okay, hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. All right. So on to concepts. All right? I'll make sure I don't miss anything since we're kind of doing 2 meetings at once. So, first one up, I show Robert and Valerie Budd.
My name is Tim Davis. I'm here speaking for the Robert and Valerie. And the Robert and Valerie have a cabin. It's down Highway 86 close to Big Cedar Lodge. And their request is to be able to use the cabin as a nightly rental. It is an area where there are quite a number of nightly rentals on both sides of 86, both in the vicinity of Big Cedar, around Ozark Paradise Village, across the street in Oakmont Hills. They're probably in the range of 30 to 40 across the 86 in Oakmont Hills that are nightly rentals, and that's their request. It's a simple cabin. That's it.
Okay, so Tim, it's the which one is it there? That one?
This third one over here.
I'm just trying to get, make sure I think most of us probably understand where it's near, but is that part of Oakmont?
It's part of Ozark's Paradise Village.
Okay.
And Oakmont is part of it. Is now, or at least was originally, part of Ozark's Paradise Village. Ozark Paradise Village was on both sides of Highway 86.
Okay.
And Oakmont is on the east side, I think it's the east side, or the south side of 86, and this is on the other side.
Okay. So, any questions?
What else is right there near it that is nightly rental? Anything?
That I don't know personally, but from my conversations with Bob, We're aware of a lot of nightly rentals in the area,
but not in that neighborhood, is there?
I know that there are quite a few more in the Oakmont area up here. I'm not certain, to be honest with you, of the exact number that we have down in this location, but I do know that this development
is that still golf course.
Yeah, this is that old golf course and everything.
Where's the? How close are we to the road, where they have the weddings and stuff? How close is that?
Just trying to remember.
What road is that? It might be. Maybe on down the hill a little bit. I think it is.
And so you see where the Ashley Street is at that uh-huh. golf course area. That's filled with nightly.
I'm familiar with that one. And so what we're looking at, obviously, is down farther south where that little blue spot is right there by Spruce, mm-hmm. where the word
exactly.
Spruce.
And, Sean, okay. part of the difficulty is there's no registry that you can go to see where nightly rentals. You just have to know from experience
right.
Where they are immediately around you. And I don't know around this
okay.
point how many there are.
Typically in the past, just to kind of let you know at least where past history, you may already be aware, we look we're pretty stringent on areas where there's other single family homes and what they might be available. So some of the things that we're going to be looking for, and anybody else can add any of that, would be make sure there's ample parking, that there will be some type of fencing to keep both visitors out from the neighbors and that type of stuff. But if I saw the photos right, that's right next to some other homes or residential lots in that area. It's not necessarily made up of, in that area, of nightly rentals. So we certainly welcome anybody to come and ask for that. We would certainly would rather them do that than just start doing it. But those are things that have come up in the past. What else are some concerns of the commission that we've had in the past or have now?
Yeah. Who owns a lot directly, whether that be north or west of them, whatever that is?
You may not have that info.
They
with
own
them.
That.
They have two lots, but I don't know if the second lot is
behind
the side.
But we're not asking about the vacant lot. You're just asking about the lot where the home currently exists.
That's correct.
Correct,
yes.
Okay.
And have they approached your neighbors with this idea that own these houses?
Not to my knowledge.
Any other questions or comments as far as for the applicants to get prepared for next time that you would like to see or any information? Well, you kind of know what you have in front of you there, so. All right.
And I did put in a copy of the sewer permit, so it's. I know one of the concerns, especially around Table Rock, is there adequate septic
sure.
system? And so I put in, a more sophisticated septic system that's been inspected by the Taney County, the regional sewer district, and had been approved.
Okay.
But it's still just for a single family, right?
That's right. That's right.
Some of the things that we'll also want to know are what are the maximum number of tenants that they would allow at a time? Are they going to have in-area management of the property? So if there are issues or problems that come up, like noise, parking, you know, things that come up sometimes when folks are on vacation. So along with parking itself and those types of items.
It looks very close to that other house, don't it?
Yeah, they're pretty close together.
Yeah, right there.
I mean,
lot's only 83 feet wide.
Well, look at this house.
Do you have any of these?
That driveway is not even on that house.
Yeah,
property.
Right here.
I repoed that house, and it's...
okay.
Anything else? Steve, did you have something?
No, look at that. I was wondering, are there anything past wanting to drive that house that you're talking about?
Looks like the road,
even.
West,
wouldn't it? Yeah. With anything further down?
One thing you're going to see a little later on, too, and I don't want to speak a whole lot to it, but actually it's not too much further west of that. You'll actually see another application that some of that's going to fall under Bass Pro's application, actually.
Oh, some of that property?
That we'll discuss okay. later on this evening.
But as far as the road improvements, it looks like they end more or less at that house. Would you say that's about right, Randy?
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else?
Like the street laid out that hadn't been finished.
Right. Well, these are always a concern for us. It's a delicate thing with the area, and we want to try to balance what folks can do with their property that also doesn't affect their neighbors adversely.
Right.
So we'll take a look at it and get all the information you can to us. And
great.
Okay?
Thanks.
Thank
Sean.
You. Next up on the concepts is Country Park, Branson Hills Realty. Eddie.
I'm back.
How are you?
Just fine. Well, I was gone when Yun's denied this one before. Same thing. We narrowed the uses up to a real small list.
Okay.
And in there, and I told the owner I happened to be out of town. If I'd have been here, I'd ask you to table it before we would have to go through all this again.
Yep. But
I had to be out of town, and Jim Thompson was over here supposed to take care of it. He got scared of you guys, wouldn't say a word.
We're scary. Especially.
But anyhow, the other thing that was brought to my attention after he was denied it was Bob, when they were out there on the site filming it, that the sewer out there. And I didn't know about it, and so went down there and looked at it, and there's raw sewage right on the ground. And it's coming out of their facility there. And the gentleman that was here that spoke against it, his sewer runs in there. Well, it's all three of those houses right there run in there. The only one that's active is the gentleman that was here complaining about traffic out front.
Was that so, Gary? Do you know which one was your
talking? Tall gentleman.
Gary. Yeah.
So okay. Anyhow, length of time here, Larry Milton there, he knows the lady next door. And she just comes once in a while there. It's pretty well vacant. So they're aware of it now, and they're going to have to fix it. But I want to tell you guys that they're aware of it, know what's going on, and they're going to have to fix the situation. And so Larry's supposed to be getting in touch with him. He's already talked to the lady. The lady doesn't have any money, but Larry said he'd just go ahead and fix her part of it, and, you know, because they're friends out there. But before, if Yun's approved this, before anything could happen with his building, that sewer will have to be in place and done correctly before he would even consider moving in the building.
Well, thanks for making sure that we brought that to our attention. And I'm sure that we would need some type of letter of compliance.
Exactly.
From the sewer district. Yeah. So that's.
Now, in the application, he narrowed the list up real good. And if he's got any questions about that list, we have to answer it. On there about the secretaries there, those will just be doing like billings, you know, secretarial work in there. There's no, his.
I'm missing the list.
He's only on one person real estate.
I'm missing the list, Eddie. Before
I don't have a list.
It was attached to the application.
This says business would be real estate sales, Branson Hills Realty, Larry as the owner. I mean, it's very specific. There will be an office two employee that will be doing secretary work. Larry's the only agent for Branson Hills Realty.
Yeah, that's the
it. Okay, so that's your list you're talking about?
That's the list.
I think it was very specific.
Okay. So real estate sales office.
Yeah, you know, Larry's a one-person real estate office, and he just deals in particular properties. And he's got the two secretaries there that do work. So we're not talking about a lot of traffic or anything. It's just a matter of three people at the most being there, you know, with what he's planning on doing at this point.
With whatever folks they have coming in.
Right.
So is his, do you know, maybe you do or maybe you don't, do you know if his intention is to be annexed?
He doesn't want to be annexed by the city.
Okay.
He told me that personally, that he did not want to be annexed by the city. That he wants to get the zoning done on the building. He's afraid that when Stormy Point does their project,
yeah,
the city's going to try to force him in. And they are getting active on that, so I'll look for something to happen there this summer because we're in there doing easements and stuff now for the water district. And they're getting ready, I guess, to replace a 6-inch with a bigger line coming up in there to their property and then 70 foot over onto their property, right? Real quick.
Okay. So,
but he doesn't want to be in the city at all. He wants to stay in the county there.
Do you know if it makes a difference when we zone something commercial, like commercial real estate, if the city annexes it, if that somehow converts into a more open? I'm just curious.
Well, during the last public hearing process, I spoke with the city and really They basically stated that they weren't going to have any requirements for annexation or anything. One of the questions we had for them at that point as well was the Planning Commission wanted me to investigate, I believe it's this Fountain Street,
mm-hmm.
And whether or not that's going to be used as an emergency ingress egress way in you know into this development. But that those were the primary things. They said, look, this is going to be an emergency access. We're not going to require annexation. They really had no opposition in any way to.
If the county approves a commercial project, like for example this one, and it was a real estate office, does that make a difference to the city? Are they that specific, or do they just rezone a commercial one?
On the zoning coming in, no, but they would classify it.
Yeah.
As their zoning of that usage.
Which that would be like a low, that would be like
an R2 or something like that.
Or like a C1 or whatever, just a low commercial, right?
Right, but it would be attached in their zoning the way it was approved by the county. In other words, if you've got a light commercial, that's what they classify it as.
Okay, so that was just back to my question.
Because if anything,
that's what I thought.
Let's say if those three houses got tore down.
Right.
And you would have to go back either here to the city to get it rezoned. You know, with you change the zoning of that area,
right?
And
from an R1 to
kind of been my experience too. Is a lot of times they'll rezone something at the same time that they bring it through the annexation process. So if they're bringing something in and it needs
and there ain't hardly anything that goes through the city what in the PD.
Okay,
I mean it's pretty well done that way.
Regardless of the one lot, two lot, three lot.
Right. Yep.
Okay.
And this forced annexation comes up every once in a while, and it's rarely ever done.
The thing that kicks the annexation in, let's just do it for instance here. Let's say that you approve it. The sewer doesn't get built where they can occupy for a year.
Right.
And then the Stormy Point guys come in there and bring sewer up there. Mm-hmm. Well, they can either tie in or pay $15,000 to $20,000 to fix the sewer system. If they tie in, it's automatic. If they abut the city limits at that point, they have to annex.
Right.
It's automatic. I mean, there's no choice.
And
if they go on the sewer, they have to sign that document before they can hook up.
That's about the most force they have.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Do you foresee the sewer coming up to that far?
The Stormy Point guys haven't told me which buildings they're going to build first. I would think they would be down toward the Branson Hillside. Because that's where the water's coming in, is there on that street across the golf course. That's where they're bringing it in there.
Okay. Any other questions for Eddie about this project?
Like the list a lot better.
Yeah, the list is more specific. That's nice. At least the way we do things now, that's the way it needs to be.
Hey, you know, before you wanted everything, it might be there.
No. But,
you know,
well,
with the new members, I got to get used to all you guys.
Me too. Yeah.
Isn't there a question about an abandoned well or an existing well on this property?
It is capped with aluminum cap.
Yeah, it's located right here.
Yeah,
right on
it's
this
capped
little.
Off and everything.
And as a reminder, that little bitty yellow block in the middle of the property, I believe, is already a sign,
commercial.
Isn't it?
Yeah, that's a sign. Yeah.
Yes. And where the well track is
for Ronnie,
is
I don't
going
know if
to
you were
be
here the first time we heard this.
The parcel we're asking for the zoning also. The well track there.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be deeded to the parcel we're asking for the zoning.
Okay, so that would include that little tract.
Yeah,
that will go with our parcel because he originally gave that to those people so they could put the well there. And now the well's abandoned, so it's no use, so they're going to give it back to him.
Okay.
It's just a matter of filing
the
paperwork.
That little bitty.
So then we need to note that it's also that little
chunk
right there.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep.
My concern was making sure the well was properly taken care of.
Well, Jim capped it and everything. That's what
it
he told me.
Already capped?
He said it was capped and everything.
I mean, they just put a stick of wood in it, or did they just...
No, they put a metal cap on top of it.
It's supposed to be filled with gravel and cement.
Now, that I can't tell you. It's capped. That's all I can tell you.
I know how it's supposed to be.
They're supposed to be filled with cement.
Well, you can fill it up with gravel above water level, and if you've got so many feet, I think it's like 80 or 90 feet of cement in it.
Mm-hmm.
So is that something you'd like to confirm before we go to vote on that?
I would like to confirm that.
Can you?
Yes.
You know, I can ask them. I don't know if they got any documentation. That's all I can do.
Yeah.
You know, Jim's the one that can.
Find out what you find out.
Okay.
In this instance, maybe the more information you can get will be better.
I'll bring him over here and make him talk to you.
I'm not in the water district anymore, but I'm still affiliated with Clean Water.
Right. And I think that the well should be taken care of because that's our drinking water.
Yeah.
You know, if it's just capped and not filled, let them fill it. It don't cost that much to do it.
No, it's not a it's not a big cost at all.
You know, I agree with you totally.
Yeah, you can put. I think the what they call for is clean gravel.
Clean gravel.
Rock. They like gravel actually.
Well, I don't
above the water level, and then.
Down at Bradleyville down there, there was a well on the place there, Dad's, and we drilled a new one, and the old one was like 120 foot, but the water wasn't good. And DNR told me then just to fill it with concrete, and that's what we did to it.
Well, you can fill it with concrete all the way, but on some of the deeper ones, unless they've changed the rules and regulations, you can fill them with clean washed gravel until you're above water level and then pour concrete.
I know a 6-inch hole holds quite a bit of concrete, 120 foot.
Well, deep. Yeah, if you go 300 or 400 feet, it holds concrete.
Yeah.
Anything else? Thanks, Eddie.
Okay.
Okay, are you Bass Pro Shops Outdoor Academy at Big Cedar also?
At this point, I am.
Okay.
Okay.
Lots of stuff out here for me to look at.
We like pictures. Can't read.
I've got copies of the same thing in the PowerPoint presentation.
Then,
I
think we got
a bigger
already anyway.
I
think we need to
see. I got some bigger
PowerPoints
here.
Where's my set?
I'll give you a picture of
that.
I can read it better anyway.
We've
got that.
That's
a chunk right there,
isn't it?
I think all of this is in here already.
There's a bigger one.
I
want to get the color ones here.
This is not going to be making too much noise for a racetrack, is it?
Not according to Johnny.
After the I can't help that.
We're not supposed to put a racetrack in, that's for sure.
You've got the point.
Should be one up there. It's a little bit beat up. It's a little bitty thing.
Oh,
this little one here. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, sir. Okay. This property here contains 1,048 acres. It's comprised of right at 120 different parcels. That's how many different parcel numbers there is in here. And it starts right here. Goes right around that, comes around the lake, all the way to there, goes over to Tate Road, the county road there, and then back up here, comprises all of that, comes all the way back up here around those lines the way they're marked. These residential lots comes all the way along 86, plumb back over to those little storage units there.
That belong to Big Cedar?
Uh-huh. And then in this parcel right here, they don't own this yet, but they're buying from this line down, and that's the way we're proposing it from this lady, and they'll be closing on it here very shortly. But they're going to be getting 5 acres of this parcel right here. And it comes down here, consumes all of this area here that you're seeing marked out, then comes all the way down here, and then back across. This area right here is what she's approved as Little Cedar. Back, Sean was here. I don't think any of the rest of you were probably here. You was here when we done that, wasn't you, Sean?
I'm trying to think back. I mean, that was right in the middle of the heyday, wasn't it?
It was right in the middle of it.
Okay.
I think you were here, but maybe I'm wrong. Anyhow, this right here was approved for over, I think it was 102 or 103 residential lots. And then we got the county road comes in there. It gets a little narrow right up here around the corner.
Oh, yeah. I remember
okay.
that now.
That jogged your memory.
Yes, it did.
Okay.
That was really, a little narrow is an understatement right there.
So, Mr. Morris.
No, I didn't. Sorry.
Mr. Morris has purchased this property, and all these roads are built. They're even paved in there. And the sewer treatment plant right there is probably 70% finished. And you know, all the utilities were put in here, the sewer lines, water lines, everything. So with the clearing that was done in here and everything, Mr. Morrison wanted to go back in and do landscaping, put trees back in, and turn this into an RV park that's nature sensitive.
So that's part of this?
That's part of this.
Okay.
And what we're wanting to do is to utilize the sewer treatment plant to where all of this usage we got up here will come down to that plant. And so we're going to be, we'd be, you know, putting a lift station down here in the valley and then put everything back up into this plant. It's got 26,000 gallon per day usage that's approved by DNR at this point in there. The RVs, there's about 100 pad sites here. They'll only use 7,000-8,000 gallons a day. It's not very much what they consider for an RV because they carry sewage with them, you know, and everything.
Is he planning on having sewer hookups at each one, or do you know?
Their sewer hookups exist there right now at each lot that was proposed. And these lots were all proposed, you know, along this ridge and down here and then around here.
Yeah.
And if you go out there and look at it, the roads are paved, the manholes are there, the water lines are there, the electric's there, everything. It just never was platted as Little Cedars. It just left when it got to that point.
So the RVs are still going to have to go through that narrow point?
Uh-huh. And the road may have to be looked at. You know, I don't know. But that's the only way in there at this point.
Does any of that property go up to that corner, or is there other properties?
No. It's kind of hard to see here, Randy, but right here comes the county road in right here.
Right.
And that sharp turn is right there.
Okay.
Yeah. We're close. You know, may have talked to the neighbor there and try to do something. You know, I don't know. We're just proposing what we got at this point.
Will you give us your best, because it is going to be RVs, and so we need to get the opportunity to take a look at that maybe and let us know what you think about that with RVs.
I know they can turn there. It's just kind of a blind corner.
Well, it's basically only one vehicle is going to be able to utilize that to turn there. I mean, we can get around there with our equipment, but
it's the same way with the car over there right now. One car goes around that corner.
Right, even a single one.
But anyhow, with this approval here of Little Cedar and everything, there's boat dock zoning right off here.
Yeah.
That's red zone with the core. And that's going to be part of the application here that they'll be doing fishing and stuff, you know, fishing trips, everything out of the boat docks and everything there. And in your application, there's a list of 33 items that we're wanting to do on the property.
What county road is that that goes down into that?
Pardon?
What county road is it that goes down into that?
That's Jones Road.
Jones, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that is just east of the stables, right? The stables, the wedding place I was trying to think of, is that not just...
just west.
You know where the little storage units are up there?
No, the whole piece of property I'm talking about. Isn't that on Tate Road?
Tate Road is Rob Voss's. Bob, if we go back there to the ownership map, I'll show you where you're talking about.
I just want to make sure. I think I know where I'm at. Right there above...
Okay, Rob Voss's. Let me look here.
This Tate Road up there.
That's Cedar, right up there, Big there. Cedar Bluff, or Red Cedar Bluff, or whatever.
It's right hard to get all of that in. One...
Okay, Rob Voss is right here.
Okay,
here
that's
where the chapel is. All right there, Rob Voss is. This county maintenance area down there, the piece of ground you own, is right there.
Right.
That's county property.
That's the road over there.
Yeah, that's east, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so I just want to make sure we were in the right area. Mm-hmm. And the other piece of property that we were looking at earlier when Mr. Davis was up here is...
It's in the orange,
so
right there,
it's just almost in the yellow.
Yeah. Basically, right, it's really close. Yeah, it's in the same area,
but the access is different. So this,
he'd be coming down Jones Road too.
He'll basically be coming down Jones
access.
Road. Yeah,
I mean there's access onto that.
Now the only we're going to use Highway 86 here for everything except for this Little Cedar area.
Yeah, there's no other way to get to it really.
Right, there's no other way to get there. In there. Now, let me ask you a question here on how you want me to explain this. I can point to where these areas are going to go. Would you rather see them on the ownership map where you can see everything, or go to their drawing to tell you about each one of the uses here that we're going to do?
I'd rather see them on the
ownership
okay.
map.
Okay.
Because I've got both of them up here, too. So, I mean, I can flip
You've got
to...
pictures there that I'm getting ready to go over there. I was going to tell you where some of these items will be in there. And we'll start with the horse stables. Will be located right over, just off the highway, right there. That's the only part of this project that is north of 86. That would be the horse stables right there. Now, if you go down to Big Cedar right now, they're north of the lodge setting
right.
up on the hill.
Yeah.
There. But that's right. where the stables will be.
Are the trails going to all be on that side of the highway then? Or are they
the
gonna...
trails will all be here.
So they're going to cross the highway with the stables?
With the horses.
With the horses.
They could, yes.
Where are they going to be setting at there where the log cabins is?
What that
in that area? Where the log cabins is at up in that area? Is that what you're...
That's where the stables are at now.
No, I mean just off 86.
Okay. There is no cabins here where we're at.
There's a substation just
okay.
to the...
Steve, up here, way
this
up here,
is west.
Big Cedar up there.
Yeah.
This is down on Highway 86 like you go to Blue Light.
There's that electric substation right there.
There's that substation right there. This is all vacant land in here on both sides. Right there.
But their intent
well,
is
I
to
know
have
where Tate Road and Jones Road is, but I just can't figure out what the plan is that top part.
What?
Right
here?
Yeah.
That's Highway 86.
Yeah, but we're what stretch?
One thing, and this might be a good time to bring this up.
Ask me again. Maybe I didn't understand your question.
I'm going to bring everybody out there.
Well, maybe I don't understand what I'm asking. Well, maybe I'm trying to figure out where does that lay. I'll put
yeah.
a different word. That top part of 86.
Okay. Let's start at Highway 65. You come down. You know where Big Cedar's entrance is now. Golf course across the road there. You come on down the road, and you'll come around a little curve to the left right there. Then you'll make a bend to the right. And there's some storage units right
That's
off
Jones
there.
Road.
That's Jones Road.
Yeah.
Okay, that is right there. That's where the storage units are. So we're talking from those storage units all
well,
the way
that's
over.
The east end of Jones Road, then, is what we're looking at up there.
No, you'd be looking at the north end. North up that page.
Yeah.
So east is this way, west is that way.
Kind of flat through there, or flat for there. It's kind of flat right there.
They're
yeah.
not noted as storage units. There's just a storage unit building.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah.
They belong to.
Van Gilder had some storage units that.
Well, the other storage units is down there by Tate Road.
There's some right there that Larry Van Gilder
this
had.
This is just a storage unit building that's not marked as anything.
It's got a chain link fence around it?
That's all it is.
Yeah.
There, Jones Road.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, I know where it's at.
Okay,
but
that's
well, it's
that
just right there.
The other storage is down by Tate Road.
Yes.
One on the
kind
yeah.
of corner across the street.
That's the one all the way down at Oakmont, down there by the community center.
Right.
Right.
Right. They're
okay.
not even close to this.
No. I've got to figure it out now.
So, again, back to... I'm a little concerned that they're going to have the stables on the north side,
mm-hmm.
but they're going to be crossing that busy highway to ride on the trails.
There could be a tunnel goes underneath too.
That's that would be
I do
that would be
what
nice
we
to see.
I'm not
talked
there
about.
Going to be, but there possibly could be.
There could be.
So,
yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Good enough.
Okay. So, on the property itself here. If you go out there and physically look at this, the entrance into it is right there. They've presently got a security gate there. And that will be where the entrance will come into the project, in there. And off of that, in there, and it's shown on this, on your site plan, the colored one you got there, that off here to the right is where they're going to have all their parking lots. And everything in there for the visitors. And there's going to be 363 spaces that is planned there. So when people come into this facility, they're going to park up here. Then they'll be transported down to the various activities down through here. They won't be driving down in this property. Everything will be confined to this parking lot, or if they're bringing people from the lodge up here over to use these facilities, there'll be a tram that goes back and forth. So that's how many parking spaces we got figured for that area in there, and that's where that'll go. And the well that serves this will be here on this high point of this hill, and that's the highest point out there, and that's a likely place to put the well where they'll put in their state-approved well, and I'm sure it will be camouflaged like everything else, because Johnny is very nature-sensitive about everything. I mean, the curbs are tree bark. You know, it's, that's what we're looking here at the class of this development. Then what he's wanting to do here, there's kind of hard to see it here, but there's three little ridges that come out here, and they're cleared at the present time. And this photo here doesn't really pick them up, but those are going to be game fields where they put birds in there. There'll be quail and pheasant hunting. And they have been permitted by Missouri Conservation Department, and there's a copy of the permit in your your packet, I think. I give it to the application. That they've been approved on 541 acres out there by the Missouri Department of Conservation for the last 2 years. Now, there hadn't been any hunting activities went on, but that is there in place.
Are they going to raise birds, too? Is that on here somewhere?
I don't know that they will stock some birds, and then they're going to try to keep some native birds around there, too. There's one hillside there that they took me down and showed me there. They sowed it in grain and oats, I believe, and I think they said they had three or four wild coveys that come in there.
That won't be enough for commercial hunting properties, so they're either going to have to raise birds or buy them.
Right.
But
so anyhow, that's what they got planned for those little areas there. Then when you come on down, when you go out there, there's a real high ridge right in here. I mean, you can see the world from it. And that's where the main lodge and the trap and ski areas will be, is right there on that high point of that hill. And then when you come farther, it's kind of like you come up here to the high point, and then there, it kind of drops off into another hill right down in here. That's where the outpost pavilion will be, and the clay course, which would be right in here. Excuse me. And then there will be a farther on down the point down here where you got a really good view of the lake right down through here. They're talking about putting another chapel in, wedding-type chapel, in there. And then right down by the lake, right down in here, this is B.H. Tate's place here. They're wanting to do a kids' camp in there. And it's patented after Tim Horton's kid camp. I don't know a lot about Tim Horton's kid camp, but I'm sure his first class are going to put it in down there. That's a pretty good piece of ground right down in there. It's not so steep, flattens off where you can develop it.
Overnight stay type thing, or do you have any idea?
In the application here, we've got where there's overnight stays.
Now,
I don't know about the kids, but there'll be overnight camping and stuff like that in there.
So overnight camping, and then maybe the kids camp, and then the lodge itself, is that a...
No, the lodge is not...
Or is it just like a...
It's the have pictures lunch of dinner. It in there. It's,
okay.
And here's...
You can see it there, the interior, the way it looks and everything. You know, there's... In the...
So it's... it's a more of a... Who knows? Souvenirs, place to eat, maybe. I don't know. Is a restaurant possibly going to be in there?
I'm sure there's going to be food on ground. There's going to be drink on ground and everything.
Okay.
You know, without a doubt. Now, and like I said, that's the main lodge. It sets up on top. But that's the lodge, what it'll look like, what the central gathering place there, and that's where everybody will go to and disperse out of.
Okay.
It's there.
So that's where the trams
would go to. And that's a picture of... you know, the dining hall and stuff like that in there with the fireplace and the seating and stuff inside. And it's going to be in the typical Bass Pro thing, you know, with the wood and, you know, how great that stuff looks.
Yeah.
And everything. But also on the site.
Sorry.
Make me dizzy here.
Sorry, too much stuff there.
Presently out there on the site now, and there you can see them on the colored one that I give you. You're going to see a lot of little dark dash lines that go up through here and all over in here on these other ridges and up and down those valleys. Those are all existing trails that are there right now, and those are already there in place, and they're specifically placed to deal with the beauty of those hollows and the rock formations and all that down in there, to where you're in nature. And what's good about this development is we're going to utilize the ridges where it ought to be used. The rest of it that's timbered is going to stay timbered, to where it's going to be hiking trails. It's not going to be raked and pillaged like a lot of these projects. We're going to have more green space than we'll have development. That's what he's going to do, is leave a buffer all the way around this to where, you know, it fits with nature, not go in there and try to change nature.
How does he feel about them big transmission lines?
Unless,
they're not going
unless,
anywhere.
Unless Empire's got a lot of clout and can talk to Camo, there isn't much we can do.
Oh, no. I figured he'd already tried that, but I was just curious.
You know, he deals with that on every one of his properties.
Yeah. Well, they're just too big.
Yeah,
I mean, most, when you got big properties like that,
but
they aren't going
that's
anywhere.
What he's planning to do in there, and there is so much stuff here, you know, in the list here. If you got any specific questions about any certain thing, I'll get you whatever information you want. This project will be done first class, just like everything else he's done, if it's approved. And one thing I'd like to point out with where we're talking about the skeet, the quail hunting, and all that, it's close to half a mile from where that will happen to any residence or any other property, let me put it that way. That's how big this piece of property is. So we're not in the backyard of nobody.
Question I have is about the road that gets really narrow. Mm-hmm. And you're going to own one side of the road?
No, we don't own
none
of the road.
None of the part of the road where it's narrow.
One parcel off, right, I think it looks like.
Yeah. Here is the closest that we come to is right there. And that curve is just right below it right there.
Yeah.
If we own it, I'm sure that Kelly had whatever we wanted. But
I think there's two or three houses just south of that parcel, right where you hit that corner.
Too close to the road? Too close to the road to make any kind of adjustment on the corner?
I think there could be adjustments made there. I mean, it's just we'll have to deal with the property owner.
Yeah, and if I may be wrong, but it seems like last time they were here and they weren't real.
The way I remember it, and Bob could go back and check in the records, when we run Little Cedar through, there wasn't nobody come to the meetings.
Well, now, but we're talking about a lot of RVs.
I mean, there was nobody, Sean, come to the meetings. It was brought up, we had the hearings, it was approved, and that was the end of it. There was nobody down there.
Maybe it was just the question when we went
down
there.
That was the question. Was the
because that was the biggest concern that I had.
I think that the people that owned that parcel right there come and ask about the road, they'd like to see it changed too, but they didn't own any land there to be able to do it either. I think there's a elderly lady that lives there or something on that corner.
Okay.
And
that is a concern for those RVs and trying to, you know, I know it's already approved for car traffic for that larger amount,
but there
is a difference.
We do anything we could to help that situation, but sometimes it gets out of your hands.
Well, I understand that, but we also don't want to add more burden to it than should already be there. Although I think it's a really good idea as far as down there, but we got to make sure that I need to hear from you on that.
Well, the thing we're doing is taking with what is currently approved, and everything, we're reducing density.
I get that part of it.
Bigger vehicles, but on this road here, there's only 7 or 8 residents that own that road, down that road past Little Cedar. There's no traffic down there. And when you get past that curve, I think that road bed gets close to 30 foot wide, doesn't it? It's huge.
It's all in all, about a quarter mile of that road is what really needs to be improved to.
I mean, when you get down by Little Cedar, it's big.
Yeah, it widens out when you get down there to where that development. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember driving down there. It's been a while. That's been 5-6 years, but that's the only part that I remember being concerned about.
And that's the only part of the whole road that's really got any problems.
But
so Jim's have improved everything else down to that point, haven't you, Randy?
Yeah, we just didn't have any luck there.
Yeah.
People weren't very receptive.
What kind of right-of-way width do you have down in there? I mean, is there enough of a right-of-way width? Or is there anything that's spelled out?
Right there on that corner from the big tree over to the edge of the asphalt. That's about it.
That's about what you've got.
And the storm should have blew that tree over, and then you could wipe the road out.
Well,
Because that's a big problem right there. There's a lot of huge growth trees.
Huge old growth.
Right, sure, people don't want to see those go. I mean, I get that, but and it's not really, you know, it's not a huge benefit to those folks right there, the way they see it. So that's a concern.
I mean, to them folks, it's more traffic on the road that they don't have now.
Right. Of course. Right.
Even though this is a great development in behind, they're not even going to notice it except for the RVs coming in now. That's
and one point I'd like to make is if this was 100 homes, you had two cars at each home, they would be making two trips in and out a day at least. Where a camper comes in there, they will park and stay for days. Now, they may have a little car they pull with them.
They drive their car in now.
But the RV will only be coming in and going out.
Right.
You know, that's what it amounts to. And,
excuse me, Abe, you said there's 363 of those spaces?
No, 100. 103 lots is what we're asking for. 100 RV sites. That's what we're asking for in there.
Some of the stuff on your list, just to confirm, I want to make sure I heard you right. Like the night bow fishing instruction, I assume they're just wanting to run guide trips out of that dock on the main lake, mm-hmm. not the lakes that are shown here.
You know, they'll have little instructional shots.
Right,
you
right.
know, like a good one, for instance, classes on learning how to cook wild game.
Right.
And, you know, you go out there, shoot a quail, pheasant, or whatever, and they show you how to cook it or prepare it in the kitchen, or maybe it's a classroom there, you know, educational type stuff.
Sure. Okay.
And, but like I said, if there's anything here that you want clarified, we'll be happy to get it. And everything, we tried to list everything that, even listed stargazing. So.
I'm again it. I don't know.
What are the things the staff's been speaking with the applicant? One of the things the staff's been speaking with the applicant about on this is the possibility, since this is such a large site, about maybe, as long as we don't have a quorum on site, maybe having the commission, or at least giving the commission the opportunity to visit the site, since this is such a large site. And
yeah, I mean, would any of you or all of you at one time or another be interested in seeing that? And I'm sure we can make some kind of arrangements. We've done that in the past.
I've already talked to Jamie Keyes and Debbie Bennett about it because Bob asked me about it, and they said that we could get that arranged because all the gates are locked and everything left.
Right.
Open them up and take things in there and everything.
Maybe we could get a couple of dates that work for Bob.
And that work for
I think Jamie. The best thing to do would probably get the date. Jens get the dates that Jens can work with.
Give us
then
3 dates.
Ours,
okay.
Then we'll make ours work with yours.
We'll take 3 dates, and what we'll have to do is take 2 of those, 3 if we can, and see if those will work, and we'll split okay. the, and those
well,
are the
let,
two. First come, first serve, don't sign up.
Okay. We'll
can't have more than we four,
just,
right?
Exactly. Yeah, we
can
just have,
can't
up
have more than four.
Up to four.
So.
But I'll let Bob present the dates to us.
Okay.
And
okay.
I don't know if I'll do it, somebody there will do it, or if Mr. Morris will do it.
Okay.
You know, I don't know. There'll be somebody that will actually do it, and it'll be their choice of who they
sure.
have go do it.
That's kind of a spinoff of Dogwood Canyon, isn't it?
No. Dogwood Canyon is really a lot different than this.
Not the part I've been on, though.
Well, you've got the big game area.
Oh, there you got. There's a big road through there.
Yeah, you got the big game area back there, the elk and all that, the buffalo.
I'm talking about the front part.
The front part of it, there's cabins and the chapel. And
you got 4 stables.
Yeah, but the thing about with Dogwood Canyon is you've got the those springs that come through there that is stocked with trophy trout and
oh,
all
yeah.
of that there. But, you know, any resort's going to have cabins and stuff like that there. You know, still the main lodge is going to stay up there where it is. This is just another area in there he's wanting to develop in there.
I assume open to the public or their guests. I don't know what it's for. That'll be their choice. It doesn't really matter as far as we're zoning it.
Mm-hmm.
Did that on their own. Any other questions?
Have they looked into a way to get across or underneath the road? Have they looked into that?
It's being looked at.
It would need to be.
That's a consideration for me.
Yeah, me too.
that, and I can get some clarification on that. What I can tell you, what I can. So
sure, that's fine. But I can tell you that that's a concern for me. If they're going to have the horse stables on the north side, I don't want them crossing the highway.
Well, you don't think that horse would find his way across?
I think he could. I'm just not sure about the rider sometimes.
You know, as far as I know, they could put stop signs up or stop the traffic on the state highway. I don't know.
Well, I'm not going to put that on the state to have that done.
So. There may be a signal back there that says horse crossing. I don't know. But I'll when we do the public hearing, we'll address that.
Okay.
Clarify that's all of that. But is there anything else that you've got a question about? Because I'd like to know when, if you do, to where I've got a few days, instead of being the last day and say, well, what about this? You know, I don't have time to prepare.
It doesn't sound like there's too many things that are out of the ordinary as far as hours of the day, other than stargazing. And, you know, I don't think that's going to mess up too many people.
That's true.
Can't do that in the middle of the day. Yeah. But everything else seems like it's... Unless I'm missing something that you guys are saying that are,
you know,
reasonable hours of
operation. You know, if you go down to Big Cedar, most activities stop at 10 o'clock unless you're at the bar area or somewhere like that. It's going to be the same way over here. It's not going to be no different if it's be a business run, you know.
Okay.
And I think this will be a good project that will create a lot of jobs for area.
Yeah.
And I think it will get built.
Anything else? Okay.
Okay.
Thank you. Are these ours to keep, Eddie? You need these back.
Have this color.
Yeah,
I'm keeping mine.
That's right. Souvenir.
I was going to say, I just need a few for the one for the file.
Up next, Triple G ATV rides.
I've
been on their website.
Yeah, I'm going to do that.
Good evening.
I like these
little. Our situation may be a little different in that we're not doing it quite the right way.
Okay. You're learning as you go?
Yeah.
Tell us your names, would you please? We know Eddie, sorry. So
I'm Doug Garr. This is my wife, Lee.
Okay. Hi.
We, the 450 acres or so that we actually ride the ATVs on is family-owned, not just us. And we've been there about 30 years. We've actually been running the ATV rides for about a year and a half now. And if I don't know if you're interested in anything like that, we have brochures that we have around town. Very small operation at this point. It is guided rides. They are two-hour rides that people come out to. The guide takes them. It's not a rental situation. The trail is primarily on the ranch. It goes around the perimeter of it. It doesn't use any of the... you know, the developed property in terms of, we have cattle and horses and things on that. That's one of the reasons why it's guided.
It's in your neck of the
woods. We want to control that. We have 10 ATVs total now, including what the guides use.
Okay.
So that's the size of the groups. If we have more than six riders or drivers, we will have two guides, one in the front, one in the back. It's a single file operation. It is not a speed thing or anything. It is what we call it a guided ride, so it's more almost like a tour, in that they get to see the natural land and the animals. They see a lot of deer and turkey on there. The barn, the existing barn, is right there. That barn has been there a lot of years. We did very little to it. We just put racks up on the wall to put helmets on. And put an old door down for the desk that people come into. They have to fill out a liability waiver, and that's where they make payment. And there is a little in this land right here. There is a little course that we had set up that people can practice that we give safety training on.
Okay.
Every ride that goes out, no matter their experience level, we go over the instructions on the controls of the bike, the safety. Instructions on how to ride the bike, and then they go around on that little course to make sure the guide is comfortable and that they're comfortable on the ATVs before they head out down the trail, which goes down this way.
Okay.
I'm not sure what else.
Our turn to ask questions?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know which one.
Parking area.
Okay.
Have you been out there?
I have not.
Okay.
Yet.
So parking area.
They got plenty of room.
Yeah, I bet they should have. Looks
that's
like
what
it.
I was thinking. Yeah.
But it's established parking area.
Yeah, we put in an entrance that's right in front of the barn, and the parking is the full width of the barn, and I would guess that barn is, I don't know. No, it's more than that. Yeah. 800 feet.
How many parking spaces do you have?
It's
because you're
going
to have a required amount, right?
Well,
yeah,
you know, I have to see here. There's the little trail right there.
Okay.
The parking is along the full width of the barn. So there's the entrance right there, and they just pull straight into the side of the barn.
Okay. Do they need any type of different thing from the state as far as an entrance when it's commercial like that? Maybe you already have that, but I just...
Commercial entrance, already
in.
It's already
got approved.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got approved.
Okay, so that part's already done. Okay, good.
That's a MoDOT.
It's a MoDOT thing that I figured you... Okay. Hours of operation, do you do nighttime rides? That's really where I'm going.
We have 5 rides a day in the summertime.
Okay.
9 a.m. is the first ride that goes out, and then the last ride goes out at 5.
Okay, so
we don't do the 5 o'clock ride in the wintertime.
Okay. So, in other words, even the sound of the ATVs are not going around at 11 o'clock at night or anything.
Oh,
correct.
No.
And somebody can't pull up with the trailer and 4 ATVs and pay you to ride out there, because I just want to make sure I understand it
they
right.
They cannot bring their own ATVs. We had considered that, and actually we were given legal advice not to do that.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, no, they have to come in and use our ATVs.
Do you ride in the creek?
We cross the creek.
Okay.
We cross Bull Creek. We do not ride up and down the creek. We're told that's a no-no.
Okay. I'm trying to think of other questions here.
Somebody else can
do it anytime.
That little offset, which was in the other screen, with the orange, right, it'd be like just east of your barn, a little offset that you don't own on the highway, right there.
Right in here.
What is that?
Dusty Cummings.
That's where Dusty lives.
I was having trouble trying to figure out exactly where this
is. Right across the road from Dusty is the...
Proscape. And then there's the directly across my driveway is that cabin that's for sale that I like.
It has a big metal building that had carpet in it at one time.
Oh, that's a beautiful area right where you guys are right there.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Any other questions?
So your part is there where all that white fencing is?
Yes. Yeah, the white fence.
That's the lower part. It's south. Their rides are actually north of that fence, little ways where they go in for the barn.
So all of your commercial activity is basically done. Business part is right up there by the barn. And then
barn.
The riding is on the rest of the property. And you don't get off on anybody else's property.
No, sir.
Okay. Go ahead, Steve.
Where's that subdivision off the left?
Oak Manor.
Oak Manor.
I don't know if I've got one.
You don't show it on there. It's back to the left there.
I don't know if I've got...
That's probably too far out.
To the north. You can't see it.
That's what I was thinking. That's too far out.
Yeah.
Have you experienced any trouble since you've been doing this for a year anyway? At all?
No,
traffic in and out?
Oh, no.
Traffic getting off the road? Or?
No.
Now, I will say what prompted this.
Yeah.
There was a complaint about noise about kids racing. Those are our nephews.
They have dirt bikes.
They have motocross bikes, and they run it. They ride them on the ranch. And unfortunately, that's what people hear. The ATVs we use are utility ATVs. They're not sport bikes.
Except for the one on the front of that.
Yeah. Well, that's a little 200cc.
It doesn't cross the creek.
But my point is that, obviously, for our type of business, we don't want people going fast. We're moving pretty slow. And they're utility ATVs, to a large part. They're not racing ATVs.
Right.
So
what your neighbors were hearing, of course, your nephew's having fun on your own farm. So,
yeah.
Sure.
They can do that. In one of the other pictures, you can see the dirt track that they put in.
Ah.
The nephews put in.
Well, they can do that. They have that right. It's not a business. So, yeah.
I will say also that even that little spot right there, I think that's it, the barn that's actually on the ranch, that was commercial for several years. My sister had a... the business in there. So, I mean, we've done some other commercial-related things. I think it's gone back now.
We didn't
leave it as commercial.
Well, it's still probably zoned commercial unless they reverted it back.
Yeah, I mean, the way we...
I don't know.
I believe it's gone back.
Unless they asked us to take it back.
And that's one thing I need to be clear on is I don't know how this works from what needs to be commercial and what doesn't. We do not want the ranch to become commercial property where the trail is.
Well,
you get into a tax problem.
I know, exactly. But I don't know.
We won't do it if we have to.
I don't know how that works.
Now, what I've always been told as far as taxes is that it's supposed to be based on the use of the land, that they tax.
The majority use of the land.
Strictly on the use, not on whether or not it's received.
Multiple uses, though. They still, run, yeah. They still have cattle and horses on the land.
Right. And so my feel is,
I think if you're conducting, I'm not sure, but I think, correct me if I'm wrong, that if, you know, those trails go on that back parcel, that we are looking at both parcels as far as how we zone it. That doesn't mean how it's taxed, but how we zone it.
Well, then, what are the implications of that other than taxes then?
Well, the implications is you can use it for what we zone it for. We're a land use body here. We're saying you can use that land for obviously agriculture now, but now you're also asking to use it for a commercial purpose. We're not taxing it. We're saying you can use it. So that would be a question between, and it's, you know, obviously the majority of that use is still agriculture. You know, you're just using the trail through there. But
it actually crossed my mind, and this may be a stupid thought when I read all this and everything, that this is something else to derive income from a farm. And in some stretch of my imagination, I can see it as being an extension of an agricultural use to make a living.
I disagree.
I know you don't see it that way, but I've pulled this around in my little pea brain.
First of all, let me say, personally, I love the idea. I looked at the website because we were thinking about coming out there, not because, but it's just a matter of we got to make sure we get things right. Sure. And so me and Dave disagreeing doesn't mean I don't like it. It's just that you could do that with any piece of agriculture property and say, well, I want to put storage units out here and derive property from it.
There is room for thought.
Yeah.
I'm not offering an opinion here.
I know.
I'm just throwing it out there because, you know, we went through this. I mean, we went through a piece of land over there right where we were looking at this last project, and the guy was allowed, it came up, and an attorney looked it up, and they raised ladybugs, and it was an agricultural endeavor.
Well, yeah, that's like raising cows, though. Yeah. Well, they're putting trails on it and having people out there ride four-wheelers or ATVs, and that's not exactly like raising cows.
No.
Well, they're checking on the cow. It's a dude ranch.
I admit it's a far reach, and agricultural is not derived from how much money you make on your endeavor on a ranch or a farm or whatever you want to call it. But I mean,
At least my intent, I can't speak for everybody else, is just obviously to get you in compliance, but the intent is not to turn around and have you pay a whole bunch more taxes either, but we do need to get you in compliance with what you're doing, we just need to do it under whatever we're required by law and our regulations to do.
Sure.
And I have a feeling it is we have to look at both of those parcels at that. I don't think, but I couldn't tell you for sure whether that would have tax implications. I wouldn't think it would, but that's not our side of it.
Can we get a clear ruling on that before the decision is made? Because we won't want to, we'll stop the business.
I understand.
I would really have to consult with the assessor's office, honestly.
You really would.
That's going to be.
What about the part that if you say they're riding on established trails, which they are, that only the established trail would be considered commercial, and then you'd have to figure up all the footage on that thing, but it would certainly not make the whole thing.
That.
Yes, that's a very good option.
There is
a way to do it. It might cost, if we can do it without costing you any money, great, but it may cost you a little more money to do it if you have to have it resurveyed.
I've seen that done on things in the past.
Basically like a road easement.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Through there.
Same sort
you
of
need
thought.
Local streeting.
Yeah.
I know this kind of business is real common for people to take their ATVs where people want to ride, like on public lands and those kind of things. And so I'm a little surprised that anywhere you choose to ride has to be zoned.
But you're making money off of it and charging for the people.
Well, they had a motorcycle racetrack on the Lost 40, and behind them that operated for 3 years.
Yeah.
And it was a commercial endeavor, and
just because it hasn't done been done right doesn't mean it shouldn't be done right. Yeah.
Well, I think what he was trying to get at was, and I don't know if it came across, is there are people that rent out ATVs and then transport them to a public usage area.
Right.
They charge for the rental of the ATV. They charge for the time that it's spent.
And they take guides to it.
If they have an office,
let's say in their house or in a barn on 1 acre, then it should be zoned.
And that, oh, the barn.
Okay,
I
so that's.
Totally understand.
Oh, yeah.
But I think it's the trail that's part of the parcel where she's. I don't know. Maybe we can get a legal opinion on that.
I can request it.
we can request that and see if we can get that, and see what they have to say. Because I don't think we want to put an undue burden on you, but on the other hand, we want to do it right.
Sure.
Yeah. So
that'd be great.
If it passes at all, I can only.
Yeah.
Okay.
Understood.
Yeah. Anything else? Why don't you do your due diligence with the assessor, and we'll see what we can find out. If maybe we can find something out and get an opinion on that. We got a little bit of time. So, okay. So you can get with.
Oh, dear. Definitely.
The commission, or however that goes, and have them get that question through to the.
Yes.
And tell them that we need it by the 1st of April.
Okay.
Or so, really close to
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
Before the public hearing, for sure.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Well, that's it. No, I'm just kidding. You knew I was going to do that to you, didn't you? 248 take and bake.
All right. I'm Corey Meyer. This is my dad, John Meyer. We're here because we want to put a take-and-bake business in our investment house on Highway 248, which is... Oh,
sorry. Right.
Yeah, that one right there. And what we'd like to do is widen the driveway and create a drive-thru area around the back of the house. And what that would require is just leveling off the land and paving it there. And we'd put a privacy fence on the right side of the house also. And our actual primary residence is right to the north of that.
So you guys are right next to Jill?
Yeah. Right.
Is that your, okay.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So just south of Flynn Road?
Yes.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Next to the police. Yeah, I guess everybody wouldn't know who Jill is.
This right across from us.
Yeah. Where our bicycle shop is?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
East Coast Subs.
Right, yeah. Right. Right across from us.
Thank you, right.
Which is corporate office.
Okay.
Yeah, or and here's Flynn.
Right, sorry. That's Flynn there.
Yeah. And then downhill bikes and all of that.
Right, that's the strip mall right there. And then Jill's house, and then our house, and then our investment property.
Okay.
Below that right there. And yes, that's what we'd like to do.
It looks like, and how much of that, Corey, how much of that landscaping or the trees, timber in the back, if that's what it looks like to me, will remain if you put in that drive through?
We want to leave as many as we can, obviously, but
okay.
I think...
Or
we're taking them out. Well, we
off
okay.
the property.
No, on the property.
On the property.
The reason there's a reason why I ask. Generally speaking, we look at two things when we look in a residential area, which there is obviously your own residence, but that doesn't mean you can't sell it to somebody else.
Right.
So we have to, you know, look at that residence too. Plus, I believe there's some that's residential behind you. There's not much right there, but it is residential. I think. We either look at putting a fence up now. I think we can do that now,
yes.
Right?
That's
right.
Yeah, that was approved.
We just approved that stuff. You can either put a fence up around that when commercial abuts against residential, or landscape buffer a minimum of 25 feet.
Yes.
Right? That's what we changed it to. So you can do either as long as you have 25 feet of timber, which you may have there, but that's why I asked that question if you would still have 25 feet. You may not have to put a fence all the way around, but you probably would, if there's not enough on the north side, which there probably isn't, you probably would have to consider some kind of fencing there.
Even on the north side, between our house also?
Yeah,
because
it's residential.
Gotcha.
So,
okay.
You know, I mean, you could sell that, and then we've got that zoned, and it's not there. You know, you don't have it anymore. And
gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's Cook on this.
We're not sure who owns that property, honestly.
Somebody
in
Kansas City owns all that.
That guy that does all the roofing and stuff, they're in behind you.
Cook doesn't own that.
So you just want a drive-through, and obviously it's a take-and-bake, so there's no sit-down seating.
Right, exactly, yeah. Everything. There'd be a little bit of parking, of course, some up front, and then a little bit in the back, so people can come in and order if they'd like to.
Right, but it's not a restaurant where they can sit down and
exactly,
eat.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Hours of operation?
We'll close by 9 o'clock most of the every night. I mean, maybe weekends, 10.
Okay, so like 11 to 10, something like that. Okay, 7 days a week?
Right.
Okay, that's what you're asking for anyway? Okay. Any other questions?
Question on the width of the driveway. This is going to be changed to commercial. Have you checked with MoDOT?
We have actually had someone come out and talk to us, and they said we'd have to wait for you guys to pass us, and it has to go to Jeff City for them to talk about it and tell us whether we can widen it a lot anymore or whatnot.
The other question is, you're going to have a drive-through that goes completely around the house and back out, so it's one complete circle?
Yes, sir.
Is that correct? Is there enough room between the property lines and that?
Hard to tell on that, isn't it?
That's, I mean, the aerial, yes, I don't know what the scale of the aerial. You've got 105 feet.
Yeah.
I don't know what the house is currently on there, but.
Yeah, there's plenty of room. we've been looking at it plenty, and we've had people come out and give us estimates on stuff, and they said there's plenty of room.
Even if you had to put a fence up, you're good there?
Right, yes, sir.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Any other questions?
The one other thing I'll throw out there, just really quickly, it's my understanding you're not connected to the sewer at this point,
sir.
But I think they have plans of connecting.
Yes, that would be required for that lot size,
as a
correct?
Part of, yes.
I mean, that would have to happen.
Right.
Of course, for that to.
And so.
Okay. Okay. Anything else? Thanks, guys.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're right.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
So you're right. You're right.
It's corporate. Was,
okay. Oh, you want to go out there and look?
Yeah. That's a little bicycle thing. I don't know what it is now. It's a car thing, a bicycle thing right there.
Well, sure. I got the guns.
Let's do a dig turkey.
I got
them.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be a bargain, dude. Yeah. You bring the skis, we'll bring the guns. Guns don't go to the
house. Well, if you bring a shot. I want hot loads, 1,250 foot per second, about 7.5 would be perfect.
The driver,
don't put that on the record. Yeah. Okay, old and new business. Are we still dealing with Montepine? You're going to update us on that? Or?
Well, the last time I spoke with the engineer, they've actually brought a crane in there.
I'm going to stop for just a second because I think Ronnie was part of that. Montepine, does that mean anything to you? Okay, we've got a cell tower that basically out there in the big cedar area kind of behind Oakmont down the hill there that they're looking at putting up that kind of looks like a pine tree. And it was in one location, and the applicants are, which was at a pretty decent location, but the applicants are looking at moving it up the hill a little bit if they can to appease both the neighbors and as long as it still does what they need to do. So that's what we're talking about.
And essentially the engineer, they've conducted this test, but they're still awaiting the results. And so he's actually requested that the Planning Commission table this until April.
Okay.
He feels like that'll give him adequate time to.
Okay. So you need a motion from us to do.
Exactly.
So what they've done, you know, they're trying to do their due diligence to see if they can help the neighbors out at our request. And so we tabled it, if I believe, to the March meeting. And so what I'm looking for is a motion to table it till the April meeting.
I'll make that motion.
Motion moved. We have a second. Any discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
Just to clarify, sorry, are we tabling it to the April 9th, the first meeting, or April 16th, and just having it with the other votes?
Make it 16.
I make a motion we do it to April the 16th.
Okay.
You don't vote on anything on the 9th.
Okay.
So we got a motion, and is that okay? Second? Thanks. Okay. All those in favor?
Say aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Code amendments. You going to update us on what went on there?
Okay. Well, first off, I passed around a copy of the. There were a certain number of amendments that were adopted by the County Commission as they were proposed. It was a total of 5 pages, and those were the amendments that were actually on the tables here. Basically, there was a member of the public that brought up a concern about. building codes that were placed on the ballot in 2006. The research I've done basically confirms that what was proposed was building codes. What we have, of course, is falls under planning and zoning. But essentially, they did adopt the proposed regulations concerning duplexes, the proposed changes on buffering, and then the changes we had concerning the applicable wastewater system permitting entity versus the regional sewer district.
So what didn't they adopt yet?
About the primary things they didn't adopt, I know there were some proposed changes on the road standards where basically they were just removing
the numbers and referring back to the table, right?
Exactly.
Okay. And from what I understand, and correct me if I'm wrong, because we just visited a little bit, but the only little bump in the road was that we called it a development guidance code, and the citizen thought that we were trying to sneak in, that meant development meant building, and so we must be trying to do building codes. It was actually a complete misunderstanding. It had nothing to do with the stuff that was on the paper other than the title.
Exactly.
Is that right?
Correct. Yeah, exactly.
So the little bit that's left, you did some research on just to make sure that development didn't really mean building codes, and you're going to take that back to the commission, and hopefully they'll make some type of move on the rest of this very soon.
Exactly, and they've just asked that that we schedule an additional meeting, report back to them concerning this vote that was taken in 2006, and you're exactly correct. What I found was that dealt with building codes, and of course, what we have was adopted under planning and zoning.
It's just and my understanding is just a misunderstanding by that citizen of what development guidance code means compared to building codes. They're not the same thing.
Exactly.
And it was their opinion that they were.
Exactly.
Okay. We had some other things that the Taney County Commission brought up as far as in a meeting that aren't part of this that had to do with, for example, I may be getting ahead of you with the subdivision stuff, but talking about cemeteries and land, somebody giving, a family member giving land. Those are things that we really haven't dealt with as a commission yet, but it is something that we maybe want to look at and decide if there's anything we can or want to do about that.
Well, and one of the things I did, and I don't know, and of course it's a draft document.
Yes, but let's reiterate. The subdivision thing is a draft document. It is not.
The staff put together a draft set of subdivision regulations. One of the things that was expressed by Commissioner Strahan was the thought of basically removing the subdivision regulations from the Taney County Development Guidance Code and having them be a standalone set of regulations. Essentially, what's been proposed is removing those sections of the code book that deal with subdivision and having this set of subdivision regs be a standalone set of regulations. There are some things, some real key differences, and I know there's a lot here, but I think some of the primary differences are one of the things that I found in researching this. One of the concerns that was brought up was about giving land to relatives. And maybe having some type of exemption for giving land to relatives or giving land to, in situations like that. And in the research I did, I really only found one other county in the state of Missouri that had an exemption, and it was Boone County up around Columbia. And essentially, they defined family, and then they had an exemption where you had to write a legal description for giving land to a family member. They basically, after contacting the staff members from Boone County, they basically said it's been a nightmare to try to, they had a difficult time having people provide proof that they were or weren't related, first off. The second issue was they had a lot of instances where people weren't providing valid legal descriptions or property descriptions. And
without a survey.
Right.
And so what the staff is actually proposing, what I found in researching other counties through the state of Missouri is other counties that had planning and zoning, the majority either used 20 acres or 10 acres as their cutoff for a subdivision, for requiring subdivision approval. In fact, Taney County was the only county I found that actually used 40 acres as its cutoff. And so what the staff's actually proposed with this is per state law, per state statute, it requires a survey if you're going to create a parcel of property that's 40 acres or less that can't be described in aliquot parts of a land survey. And so essentially what that means is if you can't describe it, for example, as the northeast quarter of the southeast quarter of this section, then by state law you have to have a survey. What we're proposing, though, is to only require it to be a subdivision that actually requires either planning commission or planning department approval when it hits tracts less than 10 acres in size. And that's what we see with a lot of our neighboring counties, with Stone County, Green County, Christian County. Most of them have either stuck with 10 or 20 acres as a cutoff. We did actually propose an exemption for cemeteries. I found that a lot of counties actually do have an exemption for cemeteries, but we also do refer them to the state statute regarding cemeteries, because there's one whole statute, for example, that governs, how cemeteries are to be plotted, what the standards are to be for cemeteries. There's a whole lot here. One of the concerns that was brought up really concerned, one of the things that's really been expressed to me primarily from the county commission, and I guess these are a lot of concerns that have been expressed to them, was there was a real concern about putting in infrastructure if a person was going to be splitting off one or two tracts of land. And what I've seen in a lot of counties, what they actually look at is they define driveway, and they basically allow a driveway with a 50-foot easement to serve a certain number of parcels. And then once you get over that threshold, that's when they require a road built to county standards. I guess I didn't know at this point really how we wanted to approach this thing. I mean, if we want to look, I mean, it's going to take quite some time just to digest this. And like I said, it is a draft, so, I mean, it's a work in progress. I mean, I don't know if we want to go through this a little bit at a time or how we want to try to approach this. I mean, there's a lot there. So,
does anybody have any preferences on how we go through this before I throw out a couple of suggestions? Okay. There's a lot of reading there, but it's reading that we really need to do. I certainly would like to get your opinion on the road stuff, and you know, when he specifically talked about the amount of lots for a driveway and what you know, and as long as the 50-foot easement's there, and just see, you know, what your thoughts are on that and anybody else's. But of course, you know, when it comes time, if you can make sure and give us your thoughts on that. But what I was thinking is we might take, I don't know what, you know, who knows what we've got coming next, the 16th on our vote, but maybe take the 16th and go over a good portion of this where the concerns are. Just, you know, we have to go over page by page unless there's a need to. But any concerns that we have, and if we see that it's going to be quite a bit, we'll stop it and we'll convene the next month on the rest of it. If that works for you guys, we can do a special session if you want and do nothing but this on a different date if that's the other option, if you all would like to do that. So it doesn't matter to me. Either one of those will be fine. If you would like to set aside a separate day.
After decided, won't this have to go through a public hearing?
Yes, but I think, I believe this will have to go through a public hearing, but we might as well get a good skeleton.
We got to do our work first.
Yeah. So right now what we're doing is just trying to get our skeleton, and then we can go, you know, put that to the public and let them take a look at it and get their suggestions before anything becomes finalized. So, but I'm wanting to get our work done first and get all the kinks
that's
out.
The way it should be done.
Anybody who would prefer to do it during a regular session compared to a special session to just deal with this?
I prefer a special session and do it all.
At least it's going to take an hour or better just to go through this.
Okay.
I
okay. Why don't, it sounds like, let's try to get a date that would work. Mondays, I mean, that's...
I was just going to ask the same thing.
Let's just do a Monday.
The best day to...
That's what we generally have set aside. I'd rather just do a Monday. Monday evening.
We do the second and third now. We got the first and fourth left.
What is the first Monday? It's April 2nd, isn't it?
Yes.
Let's just do it on April 2nd. That'll give you a few weeks to read it. Try to read it before April 1st.
Do you want to do it in this room?
If we can. I think we need to be open to the public. So,
yeah.
So, you know, even though we're not going to be taking public comment that night, if they want to be here to listen to what we're going to talk about.
I suggested that because we don't know what's planned for this
week. I guess we can be open to the public wherever we are, right?
Yep.
So why don't we see if we can get it here first, and if not, then we'll take second best, whatever that would be.
So we need to put notice in the paper, right? Yeah.
And that should give us enough
time. How many notices do you require?
How many days?
15.
You know what? There may not be 15. No, there may only be 14.
Yeah.
I bet there's not.
Yeah.
Okay, well then, how about the 4th?
That's what I was thinking. That might be safer.
Yeah. We want to do it right. Don't want to think anybody. Let's just do it the 4th April. The 4th Monday in April.
Okay.
What's that date?
We're going to do 4th Monday in April.
4th Monday?
Yeah.
What's that date?
It's the, 23rd. Get to everybody's turkey and stories by then.
Same time, same place.
I know where I can get one. Yeah, so you'll check and see if the room's available.
I'll tell you what, Sean. If you can get my wife to approve that, it's all right with me.
Ain't going to happen. I'm not knocking on that door. I'm certainly not.
She won't even let me shoot that in the field of the house.
I'm certainly not coming in uninvited, I can tell you that.
Drive up and home.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so we'll work on that and we'll let everybody know. Of course, we'll have meetings between now and then, so that might be better. So, all right, so try to read that before that time. It'll be good. And look over some of that stuff. I've got one more question about the parcel stuff, just because I think I've asked you this, but just to get everybody's thoughts, or maybe one of you all know. It seemed like the main concern when I was sitting in with the commissioners, just from the whether you sell it or give it away parcel, that they had a big problem with is, let's say I've got 500 acres that has been surveyed at one time or another.
Yeah.
Okay. And I want to give 5 acres to whoever. The way I understand it now, they have to survey that 5 acres and resurvey the whole 500. I would like to find out if by law, if we could keep that expense down by just having them resurvey the 5 acres that they're giving away if the other 500 are already out of that 500 that have been surveyed.
Well, basically right now, and I don't know why we're getting the feedback, but but basically right now, if the only time you would have to, by the code book, have something surveyed is just if it fell under the 40. So if it was 40 acres or less. So if you were splitting 5 acres out of a 40, you would have to have the 5 acres surveyed and then the 35-acre remainder.
What if I was splitting 5 out of 44? I'm serious.
Yeah.
So, okay.
But
if I was splitting 5 out of 45, then all I have to do is the 5
Not the 40. And with the proposed regs, it would just be anything under the 10. So the only thing you'd be surveying is
so if I had 500. So today, if I've got 500 acres and I give away five, I don't have to resurvey that 500?
No,
because that's been misrepresented to me by somebody.
I think it ought to be lower to the 10.
Okay. Well, then that may solve some of those issues that have came up.
I really feel like it will. It may not resolve all of them, but
well, I think it will resolve all of them.
Oh yeah, that'd be a first.
If you come up with that, you're going to be a winner.
Yeah.
If the state law requires anything under 40, how do you get around that? They still have to have it described where they do any field survey. It still has to be a certified surveyor or licensed surveyor for a description, isn't it?
Well,
state law?
The partial has to be surveyed, but not the whole thing.
If they can... Well, and here's part of it, too. Like, if they can describe it as, like, the northeast quarter of the northeast quarter, then really even by state law, they don't have to have it surveyed. It's when it gets, and of course you don't have that scenario very often, but I mean, unless...
Well, sometimes you do, roads go through, yeah. And you want to give somebody all the land on the north side of the road when you live on the south side, and there's 3 or 4 acres or five
right.
or whatever over there, and that don't...
Well, what I was getting at, if you got 40 acres and you wanted to give 5 acres or sell 5 acres or whatever, it leaves you 35, being that 35 that's left is under the 40.
They have to have it surveyed.
You have to have a
right.
description for that 35 acres remainder too, right?
Yeah.
And right now, the 35-acre remainder basically has to be a lot, has to be a subdivision lot.
Right. That's one of the main things that Danny's wanting to get
rid of. That's what they're trying to get rid of.
That's what they're trying to
make. But that being
make
a minor
subdivision
doesn't have to, that's something you can approve, right?
Yeah, but it still requires it to be a named subdivision of some type, even if it's that person's name. That person's subdivision, and then it's still a lot one and a lot two.
And that's a requirement by our code, or is that a state statute issue?
It's more by our code.
Our
code book has taken the state statute and kind of taken it a step further.
Can you do this for that part? Because, you know, when I was in here with the commission, I said if they would bring up a couple things, that I would bring them to you guys and we would work on them, and that's what I promised, and that's what we're going to do. Can you take those couple of issues specifically and give us your best one-liners on, hey, this is okay, and this is not allowed because of state statute or our current code, so we can deal. If it's state statute, we know we can't do anything about it. Okay, but if it's current code, maybe it's something we can look at if it makes sense to us to do.
Yeah.
We're not going to
exactly.
do it just to do it, but if it makes sense to do it.
That's the part you was talking about, reducing that maybe to, say, 10 acres.
Right.
Okay.
So,
and that's really what was being proposed is, and that's one of the things that the staff has tried to look at here too, is I think in the state of Missouri there's 12 or 13 counties that have planning and zoning, and I've tried to look at the other counties and it seems like the majority use either 10 or 20 acres as their cutoff. And like I said, Taney County right now is actually a little unusual in that we're looking at 40 acres as the cutoff.
Yeah.
Bob?
Okay.
Have Greene County and Christian Stone all using 10 acres right now?
Greene County's is 10. I believe Christian and Stone are both 20.
Okay. Can you get that ready for us and we can look at that at our next meeting?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay.
And what I may do, I could write kind of a synopsis of these are the key areas we're looking at changing or proposing changing.
Yeah, that would just so we make sure we change it as long as we stay within state statute.
Oh, exactly.
That's the main thing, and then we can look to see what works for this commission, if they feel like anything needs to be changed.
One concern I had early on, I mean, just to bring this up too. I hadn't really touched base with the Recorder of Deeds, and after writing this draft, and he's not had an opportunity to read the draft, but we've just spoken about some of the proposed changes in general terms, I just wanted to make sure he didn't have concerns, and really he doesn't. He would like, one of the things that he would like to see that's actually been proposed by this Planning Commission in the past is he would like to see a county commission order where basically it requires the planning department to sign off on surveys, even if it's just a stamp saying the survey is exempt from, you know, the planning department regulations. But with the exception of that, he really didn't have any concerns with it. And it, in fact, he really felt personally that we should probably look at you know, bringing those acreage numbers down a little bit as well. So,
all right. Well, that's something we can look at our next meeting and get working on that as promised. So,
I think it needs to be.
Okay. Anything else, Bob?
Can't think of anything.
Okay. Anything else from the commissioners? I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
I'll make it. Second.
All in favor? Get up and leave.